You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
Today, Radiant Creators is jazzed to be interviewing Spore and Hesher from Alternate Current Radio. These two from the ground up have built a really remarkable internet presence. They have great shows like The Sunday Wire, The Boiler Room, UK Column, Jay's Analysis. They really are creating a tribe that might be called the No Friends Left tribe. If you're waking up and you're realizing the world is not exactly as you're told, you start losing friends, but then you start gaining better ones. And this is really a place where I believe that community is happening. Spore and Hesher are great. We had an amazing interview. Their stories are truly inspirational, and I think they'll inspire you also. Enjoy. On with the show.
Hot. There's the host, Mike Hot. Co-host, Mike Hot. All right, you're listening to Alternate Current Radio. This is Hesher and Spore. Say hi, Spore.
Hi, Spore.
All right, there she is. Okay, quick level check there. Badger, how you doing out there, Badger, and everybody else on the ACR stream? Welcome to Alternate Current Radio. We are about to do a special presentation here, so if you happen to be listening to the live stream this afternoon, welcome, and you are in luck, especially if you're a Boiler Room fan. Because Spore and myself, Hesher, are about to be interviewed for a podcast here. So without further ado, I'm going to step out of the host chair and get into the interviewee chair. And I'm going to pass it over to Craig from Radiant Creators. So here we go. Thanks, Craig, and welcome to ACR.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, welcome to Radiant Creators. So here we go. I'm going to start asking you guys some questions. So you guys are, one of our missions here at Radiant Creators is to interview inspiring people to help inspire others. And definitely people who think for themselves, who at some point woke up to the reality that shit ain't how it is said to be, are very inspirational. I mean, we live in a time right now where there's definitely more division in this country, maybe world, really, than I think I've ever seen, at least here in the U.S. And it seems like if you can fall for the mainstream nonsense, you've fallen for it. I think most people who can think for themselves have definitely lost a few friends in the last year or two. It seems like it's full mind control mode going on out there. So a question I would like to ask is for both you two is, like, when did your personal waking up to things aren't as they seem, you know, like the world is not as we're told? I mean, when did your self-awareness start? Were you guys unusual children? I don't believe this just started a few days ago. I mean, what's your progression to actually become who you are today?
I'll jump in and go first on that one. I actually had a couple of different moments that really stick out in my life that kind of crossed me over to that side of so-called maybe being awake. The first one was 9/11 and how quickly the Patriot Act was put through, and there was already some incongruencies showing up on the internet that just made me really, really suspicious of the government and what was happening behind there. Another thing was pretty soon after I graduated from high school, maybe a year or so after, I did what most students do after they graduate, and I gained some weight, and then I decided that that wasn't cool, and I decided to start really getting into researching nutrition and health, and I've always been fascinated by it. You know, I tried all the sorts of different things and just realized that all these foods that are in the grocery stores, are a lot of them aren't even food, they're poison. And around 2011, I was turned on to Alex Jones, who kind of connected some dots for me in regards to, wow, they're putting this poisonous food in the grocery stores on purpose. You know, this isn't an accident that, you know, the food full of nutrition is kind of being weeded out of our lives. So those were the two most pivotal things that kind of made me really realize that, you know, there's some things that are going on that aren't as they should be.
And as far as I go, I would say my handle over here at ACR is Hesher. And for those that don't know, that means I'm a metalhead. That's a metalhead term, and I've pretty much been a metalhead my whole life. So for me, it was pretty inherent for me to question authority growing up, listening to bands like, you know, Metallica and Napalm Death and Dead Kennedys, etc. So, of course, bands like that have me pretty interested in all things rebellious, you know, war, politics, corruption, conspiracy. These are all often lyrical concepts within metal bands going back, you know, all the way to the formation of the genre, pretty much. And I grew up very dubious of religious systems, corporate and political corruption, you know, and the war on drugs was a big one for me early on. And I was also into radio from a young age. You know, I listened to a show called Metal Shop, and I was into Dr. Demento, Art Bell, Project Camelot, Stern, some of the other shock jocks off and on. But I never really considered doing anything similar. But in 2006, I got my first look into the Federal Reserve and learned a little bit about fiat banking, you know, and had that first moment of like, whoa, hold on a second, you know. And at that point, I was a little behind Spore. I was still resisting 9/11 at the time. But the seed was planted that something was amiss. And then in 2009, I started listening to InfoWars, Rents, a few others. Found a lot of the really familiar names out there in the libertarian crowd, you know, discovered Ron Paul, started discovering foreign media outlets like RT. We're actually doing some good reporting. And it was right around that time that Spore and I met up. And from there, we kind of merged and we got into these things together. You know, we were interested in health, the medical industrial complex, eugenics really grabbed us by the ears, got us motivated to learn more and to make personal changes in our worldviews and daily routines that meshed up with our currently updating context and understanding. And then we got keen to some 9/11 research that really got our attention and saw Ron Paul supporters get reamed in the 2012 election. And once those things happened, we were kind of off into a new phase on our journey there. So that was kind of how it all got started. You know, we got involved with a couple different media outlets, myself as a web designer and researcher, occasional guest, and Spore was working sales, research, social media, occasional guest as well. So that's kind of how we came into this and got to this point of, you know, to use the broken term, awake.
Yeah, awake is kind of a, you know, generic term, but it does seem to fit. I mean, I guess language can be a little bit sloppy, but that's my best shot at it. You know, people seem to wake up. I like what you mentioned. I like what Spore mentions about the supermarket. I definitely am into health also. And one of the things that I know when we go to the supermarket, we'll go, there's no food here. It's so weird. It's this huge building. There's all these products, but they're not food. There's like maybe, you know, six things you could eat and the rest is outright poison. Yeah. And that's what humanity is eating. And you realize like, no wonder everybody's jacked up because their gut biome is all messed up and they're eating poison. I mean, how do you really think straight when you're, you know, poisoning yourself? It's when I look at old people, I oftentimes think that are rather unhealthy looking. I'm like, that's not really, we don't have to age that way. That's just what, you know, 70 or 80 years of daily poisoning yourself looks like.
We do what we call perimeter shopping in the grocery store. It's like just on the outside, you go to the fruits and vegetables, you go to the back, you go to the meat, you can go to the other side. There's, you know, cheese, that's, you know, the real foods. And the other thing is, it's not just the foods, but it's the medical industry that's prescribing all these prescriptions that are causing more illnesses and disrupting your regular immune system and causing diseases as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that perimeter shopping. Yeah, just the four organic items they have at Safeway or something like that. You know, wow. Well, you know, metal as an inspiration, like Hester mentions, I mean, that's, you know, I think definitely music was one of the ways for me too. It was a little different, but definitely I liked Metal Shop too, you know, and maybe something really early was Jimi Hendrix. That was like, I was this little kid, you know, and he was kind of long since dead. And that was maybe a real awakening for me. This just because it opened the way you think. I was like, wow, this guy was, you know, it was timeless music of just somehow, I don't know, it worked for me anyway.
Yeah, me too, man. I really think that music is one of those things that the control structure, the intelligence apparatus, the whole thing, like music is one of the parts of culture that the control apparatus has really tried to co-opt, to dilute, to ruin, to corporatize. And I maintain that it's too powerful. Music is too powerful of an interaction in the human soul for it to be completely overrun by these globalist control structures. Now, that doesn't mean that they haven't wreaked horrible damage, but I don't think they're ever going to be able to fully contain that one.
Oh, yeah, especially now that music is decentralized. I mean, media in a great way is decentralized. Anybody can record their stuff and just put it on Spreaker. You can put it on, people can just download it as MP3s, gone are the days of, creating albums. Although it seems like when bands were actually creating albums and it was a lot harder, they created a lot more and a lot better. And now that it's easy, people seem to create less, but still, music has become decentralized. I mean, gone are the days of, iTunes, and iTunes still exists, but, record labels basically giving where musicians had to beg a label to give them permission basically to be recorded and sell their stuff. Now it's like, you want to record your stuff, you can just put it out. So I think definitely the empire, as I like to call it, has a really hard time now controlling music. And there was a great podcast by Truth Stream Media, and I forget the book they were talking about. It's like, sound, the effect of sound or the effect of music on the body. And it gets into just that actually, music has a profound effect. Just musical notes, then music and the message in music has a profound effect on, body, mind, and spirit. All
Absolutely.
Of it. So
oh, yeah.
It does. It's powerful. And so, yeah, and that is now decentralized. And I'm really glad to see that. I mean, and so I'm going to go. So do you guys feel like you're just getting started? I mean, also, before I ask you that, you guys both mentioned that 9/11 was a bit of an awakening or the beginning of an awakening. I mean, it definitely affected both of you. It was part of what got you to realize things ain't as they seem. Do you think that, I got to ask in the interviews about YouTube, I got to ask you, do you think that Vegas is kind of a second awakening? I don't think any event really since 9/11 has had the same awakening effect. I almost think that the Vegas shooting, Vegas false flag, Vegas whatever it is, has turned more people on, has woken more people up than 9/11. Like 9/11 was like seed number one, then like Vegas is seed number two. And I'm seeing people that have never been into conspiracies at all, that have never questioned the narrative, just regular normal people going, this is not right, I don't buy this.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of that too. We're very interested in this particular case. We've done about three broadcasts on it. We did one within 24 hours of the event, the Monday after it. We did another one the Thursday after it for Boiler Room. So that was Boiler Rooms number 129 and 130. And then Jay Dyer and myself, who is one of our Boiler Room regulars, we hosted Sunday Wire number 205. So we've got quite a bit of our analysis out there on the record on the event, and I agree with you. I really feel like, actually, Sean Helton and I from 21st Century Wire were talking about this yesterday, and he said, I think this is the 9/11 of mass shootings. This is the one of all the odd anomalies we've seen in the many mass shootings over the past decade or so. This is the big one. And it has done exactly that. It has made conspiracy research or anomaly research, whatever you want to call it, very, very mainstream, very mainline. It's actually haunting how quiet the mainstream media has to be and how loud independent researchers are being out there on media platforms right now.
Yeah, also, I'm noticing that there are very, very few people out there that are going with that mainstream headline now that there was one shooter. I mean, this is the first time where it's like the majority and the consensus is there's no way one dude could have done this. I mean, it's almost like they've made this so extremely impossible that they want people to awaken to the fact that this is some sort of maybe false flag. And I'm not in any way trying to say that nobody was killed or nobody was hurt or anything like that, but there's more to the story than what we have the mainstream is telling us here.
Yeah, it seems like one of the big issues that the that controlling the narrative on this one is having is there's just too many witnesses, and more they're speaking out. And so I feel for the witnesses out there that are brave enough to, speak about it on YouTube and all, because it looks like some are starting to get disappeared. So it seems like there's too many loose ends on this one, and they just the narrative really cannot be controlled by MSM. It seems like all the MSM can really do is sort of just stay quiet, because anything they say just gets hammered.
Yeah, well, you know, we're monitoring this one closely. We've been sort of quiet about it for the last week or so, because there's a lot of stuff coming out, and I'm finding it really hard to separate the wheat from the chaff on this one. It seems that there's a lot of mud in the water, and I think that the FBI and the Las Vegas Sheriff's Department or Metro Police Department, whoever's heading that up, I think they're sitting on it as well. And the reason they're doing that is because they're monitoring, you know, all of this stuff going on online, as well as I also believe that there are forces out there that are injecting pieces of false narrative and actual fake news and tinfoil conspiracy sort of theorizing into the mix. So it's becoming this it appears to me to be one of the most evolved, contrived narratives that we've seen yet, with a blend of a lot of fake and a lot of real. And it's extremely divisive, depending on, you know, what camp you fall in as far as worldview and style of analysis and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's gone mainstream. So that's nice. I love to see normal people actually looking at it the way you guys are, the way I know I am, you know. And it's nice to see, because it's definitely a first.
And
so it's nice to see humanity waking up. And I guess I'd move on to, what is it like to be making a living, or at least trying to, creating and sharing grassroots independent media like Alternative Current Radio, your creation? I'd be curious, of course, what is it like? What does it mean to you? And kind of what led up to, what's the evolution that actually one day put ACR on the air? Like, how did this happen? You know, what's it like and what does it mean to you? Small question, I know.
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. I'm going to hand that to Hesher. I think he'll be able to slim it down in some nice words.
Okay, well,
yeah, it's quite a long stream
with regard to the first part there. What's it like to be making a living or trying to doing what we're doing here at Alternate Current Radio? And it's essentially been, I don't want to call it, I prefer to call it more of a public service than a hobby, but I suppose for the first, I don't know, 18 to 24 months, we looked at it as exactly that, as a public service and as a hobby. And we spent almost 2 years broadcasting before we ever even asked any of our listeners to support us. So we've just recently started a Patreon platform, and we have, you know, we accept donations via PayPal. But we started out this endeavor just because we could, because we had the know-how. We had
experience, the right people.
And the right people. And it just felt like the right thing to do. And the other thing was, when this all started, back when ACR first started, I had a real job, you know. I had a 9-to-5-ish sort of job in IT security. So I was working, you know, IT management, IT security, as well as doing what we do for the beginning part of it. So, you know, I had a great job, and, you know, we did it, like I say, as a public service and as a hobby, and because we had gained a lot of knowledge in some of our previous endeavors. So it's interesting, you know. We think of ACR as a meeting place that we're very passionate about, and it's like a stage, and we're the people that run the facility. And, you know, this facility is there for our friends, our listeners, and our colleagues to use and enjoy for their own personal development, edification, and entertainment. And we walked away from our previous endeavors in alternative media and basically told ourselves, if we want to see this radio network business done right, we're going to have to do it ourselves.
With integrity.
With integrity, you know, not an overabundance of drama and mudslinging and all that. So, you know, we thought that was important, and we decided, you know, hey, if we build this, We can set it up in a way that we do not rely on a lot of the usual tactics and the common modus operandi used by some of the so-called big names out there in so-called alternative media. Sorry to use so-called twice in one sentence, but it's important. And we had the technical know-how. We had some experience doing shows. We had some really good creative minds we were connected with. So we said, hey, let's do this. You know, let's set up our own network because we're passionate about news, common sense analysis, nonpartisan objective coverage, music, culture, politics. Let's set up a platform where we can cover all these things and more. And, you know, let's cut out the sensationalism and take the information war to a new height where the long pole in the tent is not sensationalism and fear mongering, but rather common sense and a healthy dose of skepticism. So that was kind of what drove us and how we ended up there. And, you know, after going through some growing pains in the initial phase, we came out on the other side with, you know, alternatecurrentradio.com and our excellent Spreaker station. We love Spreaker. It's our primary broadcast platform. And, you know, we developed Boiler Room in-house, and we brought Sunday Wire in-house, which was already starting to bud in other places. So, you know, Boiler Room is created and produced and presented by myself and Spore, along with a revolving door of regular members and guests. And it's essentially a roundtable discussion show based on current events, news, politics, and culture, or destruction of culture in some cases. With a variety concept that includes comedy, organic discussion, serious topics, and the occasional rant or soliloquy. And then Sunday Wire is a show that I produce and is created and presented by our friend Patrick Henningsen of 21st Century Wire. And if anyone's not familiar out there, he and his crew of brilliant editors and analysts have created one of the most hard-hitting news and analysis websites on the entire interweb. It's a force to be reckoned with, and Sunday Wire is the audio vehicle that we use to spread the information and analysis that is encapsulated on 21st Century Wire. So, you know, those are big ones to us, having that platform to do those two shows. And, you know, we also run radio shows and podcasts from some of our colleagues in the media who we mesh well with, you know, people like Jay Dyer, UK Column, Nameless Podcast, and a few more. And music was a big one for us, too. We decided, you know, hey, if we're going to have a radio station, we don't want to bludgeon people with talk radio 24-7. You know what I mean? Like, you go to some stations, and it's like you can tune in, and it's just always replays or always live talk radio, which is great. But, you know, we're a little more traditional, and we wanted some music, and we wanted it our style. So we have got four mixtape DJs, including Spore, myself, and a couple of our other Boiler Roomers, a guy by the name of Funk Soul, and another one by the name of Randy J. So it's a very eclectic set of music that we play in our off talk radio hours. So that's a big one for us. And let's see, what else did you ask me there? Did I cover your questions?
I think you did. I think so. It's basically, you know, what led up to ACR actually being on the air, and you guys definitely did cover that. And then also, you know, what it's like to be making a living or doing it, or as I mentioned, trying to. One thing that really speaks to me that you were mentioning is, you know, previously you were in IT and you're not doing that anymore. And one thing I'd be curious about is how that's been, because for me, until recently, I was an IT person too. I did, I guess you'd say, mass infrastructure, unified computing, big NAS, big SAN guy. Did it for like 23 years. And, you know, it's definitely not what I used to do 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it has changed. And I kind of felt like more and more every day, every week, every year, I felt more shame and more guilt, even being a part of it. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's that great line in Natural Born Killers where they kind of kill the producer and they say, dude, no one's really innocent. And I had that as kind of a recurring nightmare where I got shot down, basically, because I was like, I'm not innocent. I can't pretend that I am being a part of this. This is just where it was fun back in the startup days. Now it's just a meat grinder. It's not good. And I could you know, oh my gosh, the places I've been, the things I've done that I, you know, been aware of that I can't even mention. I'm like, oh, there's just too much evil in information technology right now. I would just say, I mean, there's good and there's bad, but definitely it slowed me down. You know, I was not really living. I was just kind of existing and then having maybe a little bit of life on the weekends. So what I'd love to ask is, how's the transition been? Because, I mean, I know for me, I've been doing it about 6 months now, or a little bit less, from the daily corporate job that I did forever to being a natural human again, to living by my natural biorhythms, to doing something I have passion about, to being able to have hobbies, to be able to experience life. I mean, I had no idea how affected I was. I mean, it feels like a metamorphosis, a caterpillar becoming a butterfly or something. And it's been a lot to take on. I've been shocked that, hey, wait a second, you know, after 23 years of not living your life, you just don't start living it the day you stop to get out of the corporate grind.
Yeah.
So how has that been? How's your metamorphosis been?
It's been brutal. to be quite frank, I come from a six-figure club. You know, I worked in IT for 16 years, and the last, I don't know, 8-9 years of it, you know, I was making six figures and living in California where it's really expensive to live, you know. So, I mean, six figures may sound like a lot to some people, but when you live on the California coastline, it's you know, just enough to get by pretty much. But, you know, you get used to that injection of cash in your life. You know, those Federal Reserve notes are just trickling out of the matrix and landing in your account every day. And then you punch out, you eject, and, you know, things get really different. You know, the context of your reality gets really different. So for me, I feel like it was kind of a strange one, because I didn't choose to not have a job. My job disappeared out from under me after 16 years, and I was already, 2 years into this sport?
Or yeah, about
18
that.
Months, 2 years into this. So, you know, at that point, I had to kind of, you know, look around, Spore, and I had to look around and look at the world and say, okay.
We can't live here anymore.
Yeah, can we continue to do this? And I mean, it literally meant leaving California. We're California refugees now living in Texas. And I don't know that we would be able to do what we're doing with as much energy going into ACR if we were still there, or if I had picked up, you know, whatever that next IT job was going to be. So we're still managing, we're still navigating that transition, and it's not an easy transition, you know, because you get into you know, we didn't start this with an entrepreneurial mindset. You know, we started it with an information war imperative, essentially. I mean, would you agree, Spore?
Absolutely. I mean, I start off saying this is a hobby, and I mean, this is still, you know, I like to think of it as entrepreneurship, but at the same time, I feel like that to actually ever be successful and profiting from doing something like this, which is still, in my mind, really a public service, it would take many, many years. So this is really something from our hearts that we're doing, you know, to fill our own hearts and to fill the hearts of those people that understand and want to learn like we do.
Yeah, and you know, we get a lot of listener feedback and people really appreciate it, you know, and it means a lot to us that people will give us feedback and they like what we're doing, you know. And there are plenty of other ways to go about starting a podcast, starting a radio network, whatever, and doing it with a money-making sort of, you know, that be the focus. And I personally, with an IT background, I did not have a whole lot of business background, and you know, social media kind of just developed all around me, and I didn't really fully understand how it was used for promotional purposes and all that. So just over, I would say, the last maybe 12 months or so, I've been, you know, trying to get smarter about this stuff, and that's where I think shows like yours really come into play, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to do something like this, but they can't, you know, the slave to the grind factor, you know, just they feel like it doesn't allow them that. And, you know, that would be the case with me too, if Spore wasn't such a great professional at what she does. You know, I mean, there was a period of time when we were in California where where I was winning the bread and Spore was learning her trade inside of the radio business. And now we've kind of shifted, you know, I handed the torch to her and she took all of the expertise that she gained as a salesperson inside of podcast, inside the podcasting realm, and has taken that to new heights. So, you know, she has an amazing resume and we're able to maintain based on her work, you know, and now we're at a point where it's like, okay, we're sort of hit this plateau and we really need our listeners to start kicking in and supporting us because, you know, I mean, I could easily start hustling and going out and trying to pull in sponsors and this and that, but the shows and the networks start to change when you start introducing sponsored money. Plus, the way in which we analyze things is not tasteful to everyone. So it's not always an easy sell to say, hey, would you like to support our network where, you know, all topics of discussion are open pretty much, you know, anything that fly in the face of mainstream narratives and things that are politically divisive. So it's really been an interesting evolution to get to this point. So over to Spore.
I just wanted to say that, you know, one of the main things, you know, just money aside, what we do here for ACR, Alternate Current Radio, our team does this because this is what we love. We love learning from each other. We love learning from our listeners. And we have a really unique audience. And it's a small portion of the entire population that can actually follow our shows and understand and dissect and do their own research. And one of the things that I think that we get paid in is love from our listeners. We have such a huge number of listeners that have, you know, reached out to us directly and said things like, you feel like my family. Nobody else in the world understands me the way that you guys seem to understand me or understands the world the way that you guys do. And so we really have this bond with our listeners, you know, some of which we've met in person, but mostly we haven't. But we really do have a bond with our listenership. And that's part of the reason that we have a chat room is so that we can actually engage with the people that listen and support our network.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big thing that brought us in the first place was finding radio shows that had chat rooms and saying, oh, wow, cool. You know, look, we can listen to this show and talk to some of the other people that are listening to it live. So, you know, it's pretty neat to have that sort of platform. And, it's getting to the point where it can be kind of difficult to reply to everybody that writes to us. But, I mean, we read everything that comes through and we reply to everything that we can. You know, we want to make sure people know that their voices are being heard. And you know, I think that's something that sets us apart from a lot of the other, you know, not that we're a huge station, but it sets us apart from some of the really big ones out there that most people gravitate towards. So it's
just one other thing to touch on there is that this isn't, you know, we are based out of Texas, but some of us on the team are. But we have other people on the team on the West Coast and in the UK, and our listeners are worldwide. We have listeners from Ireland, South Africa, Syria, and Australia, all over the world. So even though it's a sort of small part of the population in general, it's a global listenership.
Right. We have a really good group of people in the boiler room and connected to Alternate Current Radio, our colleagues, our friends. And when stuff happens, you know, like, for example, when Las Vegas happens, we all get together and we just start analyzing, you know, collecting, analyzing, discussing, doing what we do. And it really kind of helps us distill information into a way that we can present it logically and, you know, maybe change the way that some people out there would view it, because there's a lot of people doing analysis on these events that are doing it intending to sensationalize it. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, but maybe some don't, that's a monetary thing. A lot of times, more often than not, when somebody is sensationalizing an event or their analysis of an event, it's to get clicks, because that click can equal, you know, a couple pennies here and there, and that adds up when you do it on a massive scale. So, you know, we see a lot of that happening in the alternative media, and that's one of the things that Alternate Current Radio is here to sort of reject. You know, I mean, we're not opposed to people making money doing this. We're trying to do that ourselves. You know, we want to grow this into a thriving business, but we feel that the best way to do that is to have a good product and a good base, a good people base, you know, and that's one of the things that ACR brings to the table is chemistry. We have really good chemistry between us and all of our colleagues.
Yeah, it feels very, I like to call it just tribal. You know, like, it's one of our like mottos here at Radiant Creators is, you know, find your tribe. And it seems like ACR, when you look at all the programming that's on it, it's a great, I love sometimes just firing up, you know, go to ACR and just click on a live stream and just see what's going on. Is it music? Is it this? Is it that? And it feels very tribal, very family-like, like you're mentioning. It's a very warm place to be. And that's good. I think it's something that people, especially maybe who see the world a little bit altruistically, more truthfully, really are looking for these days. So it seems like you guys are, like ACR, your creation really is providing a platform for a tribe of people to come together.
Yeah, you know, it was our field of dreams. You know, I mean, when we first clicked that stream on, you know, we got our Spreaker Pro account, we turned it on, we did our first couple of broadcasts. It was quite literally like six people listening, you know, and it was like, well, here we go, guys. You know, if we build it, they will come. You know, if we build it and we're consistent and we show up every week and, you know, we do our thing and we do our best, those like-minded people will come. So, you know, if anyone out there is considering starting up their own, you know, vlog or, you know, whatever platform you're most interested in, you know, those would be my best pieces of advice would be yourself and be prepared for a project that is going to take perseverance and determination. And, you know, constantly work to improve your voice, your delivery, and your methods. And, you know, that field of dreams will yield like-minded people, you know, no matter what. If you're consistent, you have that drive, that determination, you know, you're that passion, your audience will come. Yeah, you got to be passionate about what you're presenting. You know, you don't want to be talking about sprockets if you're not really into sprockets.
And resilient. I mean, it's not all good times. It's not all easy. I mean, it's not easy at all, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if you're looking into this particular swim lane of alternative media, you know, doing analysis and that kind of stuff on politics and current events. I mean, I don't know. Is this a PG-13 show? What's the rating on this show?
Oh, you can say anything you want.
Okay, well then a key lesson is fuck haters. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, like it.
There's so many people out there that are going to want to hate on what you're doing, and all you need to know is fuck haters and don't feed the trolls. You know, I mean, those are a couple of big lessons that we learned along the way. And, you know, you're just not going to get, if you are getting anywhere, you're going to have haters and trolls. So, you know, just beware. It just goes with the territory and you just sidestep around it. You know, it's just, it's not even a speed bump. You just drive right around it.
I like that. Maybe I'll make that the show title. Fuck haters. just lay the groundwork right out in front. Hey, everybody, this is what it's about. Well, ACR is definitely something unique. And like I mentioned, it feeling tribal. I think there is kind of a corruption of alternative media. And I call it alternative mainstream media. A lot of it, where it's not truly alternative media. And I like that ACR is alternative media, as I think of it, not alternative mainstream media. Because if you look at, like, clickbait, if it looks like clickbait, it's probably not news. And right. So definitely there's a lot of that out there. So there's actually, you know, fake alternative media, and then there's alternative mainstream media and such like that. People who are definitely in it for, well, the money, or just to sensationalize it. Maybe their bias is too extreme, you know, one way or the other. It's almost like a new form of alternative media is, there was alternative media in the beginning, then a lot of it got corrupted, and now there's sort of a new alternative media, which is better than what originally existed, I think, out there. So you guys are definitely doing that. It's good. And something else I notice is, with the situation you guys are in, because I can resonate with, like, my tech job kind of went away, my contract ended, and I could have maybe fought for it and kept it, but I didn't. And so in a way, I didn't have a choice but do something else, because I just literally, you know, couldn't go back. At a certain point, like, my body was actually talking to me, saying, "You know what? If you go there one more day, I'll just drop dead, because you're just boring your soul to death. You have to do something else. You have such a stronger calling, and you're not really living it." You know, so right. I would say I love that you use the term brutal, because I think that going from the corporate world, that TikTok world, to an authentic life. You know, or a much more authentic life, to where you actually live your authentic life and your passion all the time, rather than just like maybe, you know, an hour on Saturday and Sunday, maybe Thursday night you get a little bit of life in. It is brutal, and it's been way more of a metamorphosis than I realized. And that's one thing for anybody who's thinking about or has to go and do something unique now, like, you know, make their own living. Yeah, give yourself time, because you might be rebooting your ass for like half a year or more just to figure out who the hell you are again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was pretty lucky in my IT job. I was surprisingly allowed to very much be myself for the most part. I mean, I was one of the few guys at that place that had, you know, hair down to the middle of his back and a long beard and was, you know, still, you know, moshing it up with the heavyweights. But I mean, I think that might be a little bit anomalous. You know what I mean? I had a really lucky position while it lasted. And, yeah, coming out of that was very, very different. And, you know, for me, being an IT person, I've always been really interested in the concept of computing ubiquity, which essentially is the concept of computers just becoming ubiquitous in our life to the point where we're not so much thinking about configuring them and using the, you know, all the like IT-ish things eventually are going to go away, or at least, you know, become transparent to most users out there. And we're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. And, you know, the ramifications of that are a whole nother discussion, but just for strictly like someone who wants to use computers to, you know, have a platform like this. I mean, because if you were to look at what's in the studio here, I mean, it fits on a 6-foot desk. You know, this isn't some hundreds of thousands of dollar facility, you know, like some operations out there. And to me, leaving IT was very freeing in the sense that it's like, okay, I have that background. I can configure and tweak stuff and make things work, but I want to use them. I want to spend my time engaged with the computing power that I can lean on for my platform, rather than spending all my time like setting up computers for other people, wasting my time doing security routines. I mean, computer security is one of the most deadening aspects of IT that there is when you get right down into why we're doing it and you know, how well it's actually protecting us. You know, again, a whole nother discussion. We could do an episode on that. But, you know, that was one of the really powerful impacts to me walking away from IT management and coming into doing this. It's like, wow, I can actually... you know, yeah, I'm spending a lot of time configuring and doing IT sort of stuff, but I'm doing it for my project, for our project, you know, and it's really powerful to say, oh my gosh, wow, I can have an entire radio network that's hosted off of my 6-foot long desk, you know, and not need hundreds of thousands of dollars of seed money to start that platform.
Yeah, and just to kind of dovetail on that, there's a couple of, you know, there's so many things that just uniquely came together, or synchronistically rather. We have Badger in the background. We wouldn't exist without Badger. He is our checks and balances. He makes sure that our sound is good, that everything's running properly. An incredible researcher. And then we have Hesher, who is the juggler, the jack of all trades. I mean, this network wouldn't exist without either of those two. So, I mean, you know, those things just happen naturally, and they were the keys to having a alternate current radio become a thing.
I like that. Yeah. And it's funny, I have my little 6 foot, you know, radio station here too. And I, every day, something I get a lot of joy in is I feel like all the experience I got with computers, with IT, you know, now I'm kind of using it against the system, or not even against, but I'm using it for myself. I'm using it in a much more creative way. And I always feel like I'm cheating the man. Like somehow just by doing this right now, I'm sticking it to the man. You know, I'm using this skill that I learned for something that, you know, actually gives me passion again, you know? It's like, I feel like, damn, I'm cheating the man.
Isn't that great? I know. I mean, so, we talk about how, you know, how messed up it is inside of the social media sandboxes of Facebook and Twitter and Google itself, you know, the overlord there, slimy digital overlord. But, you know, that's where the fight is, unfortunately. You know, I mean, it'd be really easy. I have beachheads set up on alternative social media platforms, you know, other places like Minds and VK and stuff. But there's just, you know, that's not where all the interaction is happening. So the interaction is all happening in these systems that are, we are literally having an information war and fighting inside of. So, you know, and it's risky business for your social life to be in there doing that. To us, that's one of the big things here. It's like, yeah, well, we can use these platforms to try to get our message out, and you know, it's gotten out, it's getting out. We've got we're approaching our 3 million listens on our Spreaker channel. Next will be our big benchmark, and we're pretty proud of that for a radio network that is you know, less than 3 years old. We've got a really great listener base, and we really appreciate them. And you know, I don't know what else to say other than the Social Rejects Club is in full effect at Boiler Room and at Alternate Current Radio, and we love it.
Oh yeah, I like what you do with having beachheads, as you put it, in alternative, you might say, social media like Minds, because I think that it's good to post everything you do on Facebook. I should say everything that you post on the empires, like the NSA's social media, basically everything you post there, put it on all the alternative ones also, because why not build that beachhead there now and have that presence, be familiar with those beachheads? Because I think eventually we're going to see Facebook decline and YouTube decline, and you might as well be on DTube and Daily Motion, Minds. Just have your beachhead fully established, so as the users move to those platforms, you're already there. I think it's a really smart move. It's something that we do.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of work to manage all those platforms, and you know, Spore called me the juggler, and you know, I can only juggle so many items at once, so many chainsaws and you know, flaming spears, but it's good to have a full spread on that. And, you know, we're reaching out pretty much as often as we can. We just upgraded our Podomatic account, so we'll be more prominent on Podomatic, more available there. You know, people can listen to our stuff at alternatecurrentradio.com, at 21stcenturywire.com. Jay'sanalysis.com reposts a lot of our stuff. You can hear our stuff on the Spreaker app, the mobile app. You can get it via iTunes from the podcast app. You can get it from iHeartRadio. And after this next week's show, it'll be out on Podomatic every week. So, I mean, the reach is getting wider and wider, and it's great. You know, I really like all these different avenues, and we get people that appreciate us adding the new platforms, because you know, some, you never know what people prefer as far as what they can listen to. Some apps don't work well on some people's phones, etc., etc. So it's really nice to have that widespread, and if you can manage all those updates, then it's great.
Oh yeah, getting it uploaded to every, you know, platform takes longer than the show. So yeah, I know. Well, it does sound like you guys have become professionals quick. And that's something that happens. You get tossed into, okay, your IT job went away, and now you've got a new gig. And as Spore mentioned, a lot of synchronicities happen. It was meant to happen. You're doing it And that's something I know I'm doing over here. It's, you know, becoming a professional quick. Like, you know, recently, this past week, it's been like business plan time and this presentation we're doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, what this is, I'm doing like business plans are, you know, next to computer security, the most boring thing on earth to do.
Oh man, I may have to hire you to do mine. I haven't even bothered with one yet. Mine are more like notes at this point. But you're right, you know, I mean, a Metallica song comes to mind here, Jump in the Fire. I think that's pretty much what happened. And, you know, I got to give full credit to Spore, because this, I don't even know if this would have started if she hadn't of become a live radio show call-in. I was actually commuting to work one day and listening to one of our radio shows, and I heard her call in. And it was like, oh my God, the cat's out of the bag now, and I can no longer, you know, exist in the shadows here as a listener. Like we're involved, and ever since that moment, we've been involved in the information war, in one way or another. And you know, if it weren't for Spore, I don't know that that's something I would have chosen to do on my own. So that, you know, big credit to her for having the bravery to make that first phone call. And also I have to give a lot of props to 21st Century Wire and Patrick Henningsen and his crew. I mean, they were instrumental in helping us with some of the creative aspects.
And Patrick actually named Alternate Current Radio.
Yeah. Alternate Current Radio was Patrick's brainchild, the name for it itself.
He actually came up with the idea with Boiler Room as well.
Yeah, he was a critical component in pushing us to start the Boiler Room. So, you know, I mean, and that's just one of a number of relationships that we've, you know, distilled in our years in this realm here. And, you know, those lasting ones with like-minded individuals that create that, you know, that tribal feeling that you're talking about. You know, those are what's most important. And for us, like, we're willing to make that sacrifice. We could easily be a two-income household and, you know, be a lot better off financially than we are right now. But and it may come to that. You know, that's another thing that, you know, your Radiant creators out there have to keep in mind is, you know, sometimes you got to double do. You got to do double work. You know, you got to pull those boots up and go to the slop job, the slave job, so that you can come home and, you know, have those Federal Reserve notes trickling out of the matrix that enable you to do your passion. And, you know, that's where things get really dicey. You know, I've lived it both ways now. I've lived it, you know, while doing a job, and I've lived it full time. And we'll see. You know, I may go back into the IT industry just so that we can kind of take that, you know, we'll go Spaceballs plaid speed jump to the next level for ACR. And, you know, I mean, I'm willing to do that, which is essentially jumping in and helping our listeners. Like, I would essentially be functioning as a listener and investing some of my fiat into ACR as well. I mean, I'm already doing that with my time, and our initial investment. Our initial investment here at ACR is not small. It's, you know, it's substantial, and we're still working at recovering our initial investment while growing at the same time. So, you know, it's a grind, and you really got to have your eye on the prize. You got to understand hustle and grit and determination. You know, those are what's required to pull something like this off.
Yeah, it reminds me of a saying I heard down south once. God helps those that get off their ass.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Well, definitely, we easily could do a show on computer security and AI. Oh my gosh, that'd be a good one. But, well, I don't want to take up too much of your time today. It's just, we're just getting near an hour. I guess I'd would wrap it up. Well, another question or two that aren't too deep. I know you maybe have touched on this, but something that I wanted to ask specifically is, what keeps both of you going? I know that you've kind of mentioned it, but maybe in the last week or so or month, can you name something that's really been an inspiration that made you just grit your teeth and go, yeah, bring it? And like something that gave you guys a bit of passion to keep going, something that inspired you.
I'll say two things for me. One, now just a brief moment of background about myself. I'm fifth generation Californian. liberal DNA. And, you know, through my so-called awakening, I realized that even though I thought liberalism was all about being open-minded, I found that the majority of my friends and family shunned me for having changed my opinions or even having this, you know, very open mind that I think I do now. So it kind of ruined my social life a bit. So one of the things that really keeps me going is this is my social life. I get to collaborate with some just hands down geniuses. I mean, really, really intelligent people and funny people and loving people. I mean, this is a really wonderful social life. So that's, I guess, the one thing that really keeps me driven. And the other thing is to be able to watch these geniuses collaborate with each other and come to some real epic information, this research and conclusions and speculation, which I don't think I could find in any other circle of people.
Absolutely. Well said, Spore. I got to agree with that, and I'll underline it. You know, one of the things that keeps me going doing what we're doing is it's not a joke, you know? I mean, Alex Jones really scored when he named his platform InfoWars. I'm not promoting InfoWars or Alex Jones in any way, shape, or form, but the name is crucial because that really is what we are faced with as Americans, or any name your country. You are being bombarded with propaganda and really advanced technocratic information warfare tactics. So that really keeps me going. To me, that is some of the goals of the people that want to have this information war, that want to perpetrate this information and propaganda warfare on we the people. Their end goals are terrible. They're inhuman. They are antithesis to what all good people want in life. And it's an important role as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, as Spore mentioned, you get into this stuff, you may think that, you know, you have yourself surrounded by open-minded people, but you'll be very surprised, you know, if you start changing some of your views or doing analysis of events in a way that challenges their political identity or worldview. You'd be surprised how quickly you can lose friends. And we've had this discussion with hundreds, literally hundreds of listeners who really do feel the importance of the Social Rejects Club. You know, that's kind of what we call the boiler room. It's the Social Rejects Club, or the NFL, and that doesn't stand for take a knee, you know, National Football League. That stands for no friends left, and quite literally, because this is a thing that happened to us. It's a thing that happened to our listeners. We've been targeted amongst our families. We've been targeted in the workplace, quite literally, for what we do and say. Thought crimes, apparently, that make us unworthy of friendship and mutual respect amongst people that we used to get it from when they thought we held similar ideas. And I just think that that is fucked up and wrong. And what's the best thing that we can do about it is to continue to speak our truth, continue to try to promote common sense and nonpartisan analysis of events, and try to understand the context of this world in which we live, because without that, you're at a major disadvantage in this information war.
Definitely. I like that you mentioned information warfare tactics, and at least I feel that they're being used over time now. I think maybe more than I've ever seen them in my lifetime. So there's definitely a division of people who are either waking up and getting it, or people are getting, you know, more far lost than they ever have been. I lived in California for 10 years, and I liked it. It's a liberal place, but it never was nothing like when I moved to Seattle for a couple years, like the epicenter of all weakness. And I've seen it. I lost pretty much every friend I had there because thinking for yourself, you know, not accepting the mainstream narrative really is the new punk, I think. Yeah. And it is a good way to, no friends left. That's a good way to put it. But you know what? The friends that you do gain after that, they're real. You know, and I'll take one or two real friends over 30, you know, that ain't. And a lot of times, truly, you never know what you're made out of, and you never know what other people are made out of until you're tested, because everybody's a hero when it's easy, you know. And so it's great to actually, I'm thankful for the people that will no longer talk to me, because it's better to find out. It really is better to know. It's good to have your friends and yourself tested so you all know what you're really made out of, and to know that your personal tribe is real. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens when you jump in the fire. You know what I mean? You jump in the fire and you don't know who's going to be there on the other side when you come through it. You know, you're literally like popping your head through some membrane that you can't see what's on the other side. And I totally agree. You know, we've both shed, and I know a lot of our listeners have shed many people, or been shed by many people, you know, that we once considered brothers, sisters, and family members, who now just, you know, don't have any ounce of respect for us left, even though we never disrespected them in our discussions or anything like that. So, you know, it's a real thing, and you can get through that too. I guess the lesson here is, you know, back to that field of dreams metaphor, is, you know, that too will pass once you jump in and pop through. If you do it right and you're lucky enough like we are, then you know you'll find those tribal relationships on the other side there where you know you've taken your stand.
Yeah, the reality is, if you're not scared shitless, it's not real. And so I wish that wasn't true, but I guess you just have to, if there's any good side to it, you do get used to it. I'm used to being scared shitless now, you know.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst that can happen, Craig? I mean, we could die poor and alone. Well, you know what? You got the same chances of that happening if you do the 9-to-5 thing your whole life and do your best to, you know, gain a pension. You're still running that risk, especially in this day and age. You know, we're not going to retire the same way the baby boomers are retiring.
Yeah, we have a different future than they did. I almost envy them, because I go, you know what? You guys just did play by the rules that were set by, you know, the society to, you know, be a slave to the state, and it worked for you. But unfortunately, that is long since passed. That the stable system has now failed, and we don't have the, you know, like, I know I pay for Social Security, but will I ever see it? I don't know. I don't really plan on it. So we have a different world that we're living in. So I know the elders in my family will always say, why don't you stick with a job for 35 years? So you're blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, because I don't live in the world that you did. You know?
I mean, yeah, try to tell that person, hey, there is a 17-year-old on YouTube who understands how to build computer systems such that he can mine bitcoins and make $3,500 a month. You know, that kid is out there. There's a lot of that kid out there right now. And that does not exist anywhere in the context or reality of that person that wants you to live that old school American dream. You know, it's, you know, that's just not the way it is anymore. And, you know, for them to not even know that kid out there exists, you know, it's really hard to take career advice from someone like that.
Exactly. Because what they don't realize is right now, like for people who, there's a great comment we got on some of Aaron's photographic work, or photography. Somebody commented, it's like the world is hiding until you pick up your camera. And I would say that's, could there be a better compliment? I don't think I've ever heard one. And so that's what you guys are doing. You know, like you're it's like maybe the world's a little bit asleep until you guys pay attention to where you see life and you see meaning, and then you share it. And you know, nobody would be seeing it or experiencing it if you weren't doing that work. So it's really good. And I guess the last thing I would ask is, so you've touched on it already, but what's your vision for alternative current radio? I mean, let's just say that everything works out exactly as you would like all your dreams come true. Where do you see alternative current radio going? What's the new stuff? What's happening? What's got you, you know, what are the rest of your dreams to come true yet? You know,
great question, Craig. And it's alternate current radio, not alternative. So that's okay. It's a common mistake, but if anybody out there is looking for it, it's alternatecurrentradio.com for our website. And since I mentioned our website, I guess to answer your question, yeah, we've got a lot of plans. You know, the juggling is even bigger in the background than it is in the foreground where the listeners can see. I'm working on a relaunch for the website. Patrick Henningsen and myself and some others are working on rebranding, new logos, etc. And so, you know, there's always stuff happening in the background. We would love, I would really love to do a daily live show, and that may or may not be on the horizon depending on work, how work pans out. We would like to do a health oriented show. Spore has been brainstorming a really cool show idea with me that I think we're going to bring into reality pretty soon, maybe. I would say before 2018, you think?
It might be before. It might be just like a great way to start the new year off. Not really sure.
Well, yeah, we may start that in January or sooner, but we're looking forward to doing that. We want to kind of take our brand of just, you know, everyday person analysis into the health realm and, you know, maybe bring in a couple big names, but mostly talk to our listeners and other people who have, you know, inspirational stories of recovery or whatever, you know, whatever whatever their thing is in that realm. So we're looking forward to doing that. We would love to be doing more remote stuff. We've been kind of, well, we've sort of perfected that, I would say, with Patrick Henningsen and his team. We did, I think, 5 or 6 episodes of Sunday Wire with Patrick reporting live out of Aleppo, Damascus, Lebanon, all sorts of different places along his travel when he was doing reporting and analysis on the ground in Syria. You know, and the Syrian conflict is something that we've been really passionate about here at ACR. We've done a ongoing, fantastic job of completely deconstructing the lies of the mainstream media with regards to the Syrian conflict since it started, pretty much. Sunday Wire has been there. Sunday Wire, 21st Century Wire, Vanessa Beely, Patrick Henningsen, Eva Bartlett, and a number of other just amazing journalists associated with 21 Wire have pretty much laid bare. I mean, if you don't feel caught up on what's going on behind the Syrian conflict, definitely check out the Sunday Wire archives. There is so much information there. So, you know, that's one of those things that we would like to continue to do, is be able to send people to remote locations and be able to do professional style broadcast from them. I mean, if you listen to some of the broadcasts out of Aleppo, the quality on them is amazing. I mean, you know, who else are you going to get that's going to go out there and do that? So we're really proud of Patrick and proud of the work that has been done with regards to Syria. We'd like to continue to do stuff like that. We'd like to see the website get a lot better. We would like to add a community feature to the website. So we've got a lot of plans and visions for the future for ACR, and, you know, it's a matter of time and bandwidth, and that's another thing that I've had to just accept, is to really work on patience, because there's just so much to be done as it is to just keep the machine rolling as it is. I mean, we do live broadcasts every Thursday for Boiler Room, every Sunday for Sunday Wire. We do live broadcasts on Saturdays with the music shows. And, you know, that sort of a production schedule, doing live radio is, it takes a lot of planning and a lot of editing. You know, when we're done, I always spend a lot of time, you know, trying to produce a quality sound so that we have a really, you know, clean, good edit. And, you know, that takes a huge commitment on my part. You know, I spend probably 3 times as long, just editing a show as I do presenting one. And, you know, on top of that, there's all the graphics and web posts and social media posts. And, you know, I've got a few people on the team that help me out with a bit of that. Like Funk Soul helps me out with social media, and Spore helps me with a lot of stuff. But, you know, it's a lot of work just to keep grinding stuff out. So you have to be patient for some of those big goals. But we're, you know, slowly making progress on them all the time. And the next big benchmark for me will be our new website and adding a couple more shows.
I like it. Great, great. Well, I guess I could wrap this up with a couple notes that I made while you guys were talking. One thing that really struck me, I like this, is, hey, I'll wrap it up with this. ACR, it's got 3 million listens now on Spreaker. So fuck you haters.
That's right.
There's 3 million likes, you haters. Hate those. Every damn one of them. Get out there, you know? Yeah, well, that's great. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. If there's any last things you want to mention, like where people can find you, Alternative Current Radio, of course. But yeah, what else you guys got? Let me have it.
I just wanted to say thanks for having us on your awesome show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, your show's great. I love the concept. I'm extremely interested in entrepreneurship right now. It's sort of my new passion. I'm a bit of a noob to it, but you know, we've taken ACR as far as it can go as a public service and as a hobby, and we're trying to turn it into a viable business. And I know that our listeners would like to see that happen. And if we can make that happen with our listeners alone, or with some small businesses that want to get in and do some advertising with us or something like that, that would be our ideal way to move this forward. You know what I mean? We're not going to have Sealy Posturepedic or Coke or anyone like that sponsoring us. We're not going to have any giant media conglomerate sponsoring us. You know, we're not Breitbart or anything like that. We want to truly be listener-based independent media. And that's our thing. That's our passion. And people can find us at alternatecurrentradio.com. They can search for Alternate Current Radio at Spreaker.com for our complete archives. We've got well over 2,000 hours of programming up there. They can support us on PayPal or become a patron at Patreon. Those links are all at alternatecurrentradio.com/donate if they like what we do. And a lot of people do like what we do, but they're not able to support us financially. We totally understand that. And those people, if they enjoy what we do, we just would feel great if they would share our work and make people aware of it, like you're doing today, Craig. So, you know, we're really pleased that you invited us on the show. We're happy to be among the list of Radiant creators. I mean, it really puts a smile on my face, gives us chills and all that. So we appreciate it. And looking forward to hearing more of your show and coming back on it sometime. And we'll get you on Boiler Room one of these days. We'll have to do that.
That sounds incredible. Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for your time. And I will mention to all the ACR fans out there that, you know, when it comes to Patreon, just giving $1 a month to your favorite podcasts and shows has an impeccable impact. It's huge. So do it.
It really does. Yeah, everybody get out there. And I don't say that just for ACR. If you love what someone is doing out there, if you recognize a radiant creator out there and you have the means, $1 a month. Some of us are out there spending $5-6 a day on coffee. And $1 a month can have really help. I mean, if someone only has 1,000 listeners and every one of those gives them $1 a month, that might be the difference between that person having to scale back or give up their creative dreams and go back to a day job, or allowing them to make that next step, you know, to commit themselves even further and, you know, increase that listener base and turn it into a business, you know. So I mean, the opportunities are there, and if you got the hustle, the energy for the hustle, then I think you can do it. And I really hope that maybe we can inspire some people to do that ourselves.
That was the idea of this show, and you guys definitely have and definitely will. So we will do our best to promote this and get it out there. Well, thanks so much for your time, both of you. It's been
Thank
great
you so much.
Thanks, Craig, really appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Bye.